I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. And we appreciate you.
Dawn Staley speaking the truth there. So Caitlin Clark rewrote the record books in her time at Iowa. She scored nearly 4,000 points, averaged more than 28 points per game. One of the only things to elude her, a national championship. Kinae and Andrea back here with us. Hello, ladies. Okay, okay. Okay, okay.
I got it.
Drea, tell me this. What legacy did Caitlin Clark leave on women's college basketball?
Well, she clearly eclipsed the competition with the exception of the Natty.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
With the exception of the Natty.
You did that.
Look at Molly. Molly loves it. Molly loves
I do. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I was in a full panic yesterday that I couldn't find glasses for this eclipse. Like, I even went to the mall, and I was trying to find – I went to an optical store. Then I came into work today, and Mike, one of our coworkers, hooked me up, so I'm very excited about it, just to let you know. Side note on that. Okay, back to
America is really touched by that story.
I'm excited to see the eclipse.
So
it's
touched.
Once in a lifetime.
America's so touched.
I had an earthquake on Friday's show, an eclipse today. I mean, it's just a lot of things. Things are happening, people. Drea, what legacy did Caitlin Clark leave on women's basketball?
She is the most impactful player this game has seen. It's women's basketball, but it's basketball in general, maybe even sports in general. Caitlin as a singular force, the way she moved the needle for the game of women's basketball, you can't overstate it. It hasn't been seen. No one's been close. When the eyes were on Caitlin, so many eyes were on her, she delivered every single time. That is her legacy, her impact on this game, and the growth we've seen in these last couple of seasons. Just look at the numbers. 12 million, 16 million. We don't know what the numbers are going to come from the national championship game. The eyes are on her. She delivered. She handled it so well. You heard Dawn Staley say it. It's her impact. Her legacy is her impact.
Yeah, and Dawn also said, like, welcome to the GOATs conversation in some ways. And I think we all know that when we speak of greatest of all time and Caitlin, the more important thing is the word that Drea said. Impact. Because at the end of the day, women's basketball plays for legacy. She has the opportunity to continue her legacy in the WNBA. But when we talk about her impact, let's go at a micro level. Her impact on her team, she accounted for about 50%, like at the minimum, of Iowa's success, whether it was scoring at 32 points per game leading the nation or assisting at 8+ assists a game. Then you go a little bit bigger. What's the impact on what she did historically through the game? I mean, busted through the all-time threes record, NCAA tournament record. She did that in 18 points in the first quarter. And then the larger impact, like Drea said, moving the needle, what I love is she started her freshman season in COVID, where there were no fans. And now, everywhere she goes, it's sellouts. People are waiting lines across the block. At our open practice in between the semifinals and the national championship game, Drea, what was it like?
17,000
people were there for practice. Then the national championship, where it's going to be hard. You're going up against the number one defense in South Carolina. She still drops 30. Now, it was on a number of shots, but she had to keep shooting to see if they could keep having a chance. And then, you know, you just think she is one of those most impactful of a generation-esque, the same way that Candace Parker, when she dunked in the NCAA tournament, people thought differently about the game. Yeah. Like, she busts open these ceilings, and I just love how this is not the end. It's truly the beginning for Caitlin Clark as that impact evolves as she continues her career.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah, I agree. I think the women that I would have in front of her had more. So I believe she accomplished more with less than all these other. If you want to put Stewie, who won 4 championships, 4 most outstanding players, 3 MVP, most valuable players in the season, or you put DT, or you put Cheryl Miller, they had more. They had WNBA talent riding shotgun with them. I'm not so sure that Caitlin Clark, any of those, now they're the sophomore, I can't pronounce her last name, maybe, but
Hannah
she's a sophomore.
Hannah Stolke. Yeah. Hannah Stolke.
She might go to the WNBA, but if you look at all these other women and what they accomplished, they had 3-4 WNBA talent alongside them. So, yeah, I'm glad Don said that. Yeah, she's in the GOAT conversation. I couldn't put her in some of the names that I mentioned for the simple fact she didn't win a title. I believe this, young ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you can be great. I believe you can be historically great. But to add the EST, I just can't, without a title, I can't bestow that upon you.
Well, I'm definitely there with you, Shannon, in that regard, because when we look at some of the great names, the Breonna Stewart's 4 titles, Diana Taurasi 3 titles, Shamika Holmes 4 3 titles, Candace Parker 2 titles, Cheryl Swoops 1 title, obviously you can look at the programs that they played at compared to where Caitlin Clark was and the pieces that they had around them, because more than one player, you need more than one player to win a championship, and we get that. I think that Dawn Staley perfectly encapsulated everything when she said, you are one of the GOATs of this game, one of, because of her impact and her greatness, she definitely deserves and warrants that level of respect. Devoid of a title, she basically deserves that level of respect because she basically put the sport on its shoulders and uplifted the sport. We can't take that away from her. But I'm going to tell you what's interesting, and nobody has brought this up, and I'm going to bring this up, okay? You know, one of the things we didn't talk about was what happened Friday night. That damn call by that official with 3.9 seconds left that gave, that helped. Now, I'm not going to sit up there and tell you that it was the wrong call. I just hate the fact that the call was made at that particular moment in time. You want to definitively see the players decided as opposed to the officials, even though technically speaking, it seemed to be the right call, although not in the moment. But then you watch the replay over and over again, not in real time. And you say, OK, you can understand how that call was made. So none of us brought that up. Here's why I'm bringing it up now. When Scott Van Pelt interviewed Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, and Diana Taurasi literally said, there are levels to this, and on the next level, we will be waiting. You performing against these young ladies, and props to you, but there's a different level waiting for you at the next level.
Sure.
We don't hear, we know it's true. We say it's true. We rarely hear it from the actual combatants. There's levels to this. You might hear it in the sport of boxing. In other places, you don't hear people talking about folks that's coming in to the league like that. You're about to be the number one overall pick in a couple of weeks. You know, the season opens in May. You got a home opener May 16th against the Liberty when you're a member of the Indiana Fever and stuff like that. And Diana Taurasi, one of the greats, is like, yo, we gonna see when you get here, it's going to be different. Now she said that. And I'm saying to you, that does give Caitlin Clark an opportunity to show, excuse me, yeah, it is different. And the level that I've entered is different. And the support I'm going to have is different. So guess what? More might be coming. When we see that, if we see that, we might be talking to her about her in an even more elevated light.
I think the reason why players like, sorry, Shannon, really quick.
Go ahead.
Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird say this is because a lot of people have experienced the women's basketball season from the context of the last 2 years, which is why I'm very grateful, Stephen A. and Shannon, that you have this platform where we can give a lot of women like Lynette Woodard and Cheryl Miller and the greats in the game, Shamika Holtzclaw and Breonna Stewart, their flowers, because some people don't understand the impact of championships when we have these GOAT debates, right? Because the first thing we say with MJ and LeBron is how many championships you have. All right, once it's not there, it's like, okay, well, this guy was all defensive too. It's all about resume. And so I think DT and Sue are just saying, hey, I know everyone believes based off of her historically having the greatest scoring college basketball season, men's or women's, that you think she is the greatest of all time. She still has to go and prove it in the pros. Yeah. Now, I think we should say it a little bit more as a class of WNBA players, with love, not with like, I'm waiting. But the reality is there will be a transition where guards, so, What do you
I
mean?
I disagree with that. I think they said it like, we waiting. Yeah. And I love it.
I know you love it, Stephen A. I know you love it, Stephen A. But I think people think people are hating on Caitlin Clark.
Oh, I get you. Oh, I see what you're saying.
And there's a difference amongst that. Yeah. Yeah. Right, so for me, Caitlin has done everything that she's needed to do, and then some. Even falling short of a national championship. Mm-hmm. Going to the W, it will be difficult. I play in the W. It's one of 144, the most competitive sports league, one of them in the world. So I think that's what people are trying to educate the population to. But nonetheless, her talent is going to be uplifted, and her teammates will uplift her in ways that we didn't see in Iowa, and that's the point that Drea made earlier.
Go ahead, Shannon.
But see, here's the thing, Stephen A. DT was asked a question. Now, everybody always asks, like, we want people that actually played the game to talk about the game. Okay, you get none better than Diana Taurasi. I think she's won 5 gold medals. She won 3 championships. She was player of the year, WNBA MVP, finals MVP. They ask her a question. She answers the question, and it's hate. Well, let me tell you something. Let me take it to another sport. I was fortunate enough, Stephen A., and young ladies to play the NFL for 14 years. And when I was in the league, whatever award you won and you came to our team, we needed to see why you won it. Now, if you was a Thorpe Award winner, you was a Biletnikoff Award winner, you won the Heisman, I needed to see. Now, we're going to put you to the test. We're going to see it, Stephen A. We're going to see. You want the Don't Walk or the Johnny Unitas? We don't care. We grown men. See, you ain't playing for books now. You're not playing for a little extra tuition. We playing for mortgages. We playing for college tuition. We playing for mom and grandma, standard of living. There's a whole different ball game. So you come in here with that BS that, he was so good in college. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right.
That didn't have anything. And don't get mad at Diana Taurasi because she was asked a question. Because, like she said, these are grown-ass women she going to see now. These ain't 18 and 19-year-olds. Grown women.
And the biggest thing I love, Shannon, I completely agree with you, because here's the point, Shanae and Andrea. Listen, people can talk about hating all they want to. If Diana Taurasi is just commentating, you know, she's done, and that'd be different. It's like, they ain't waiting. We are waiting. It's like, wait, it's levels to this. They're like this, on this level, you're phenomenal, and you're fantastic, and all of this other stuff. Do you know what kind of game we got waiting here? I love it. I think that's beautiful for the sport. And to me, her saying it in the way that she said it, Diana Taurasi has always been a real one. She's real. She's great. She's phenomenal. She's all those things. Mm-hmm. But her authenticity, I love this woman. She don't play. And she come in, and her attitude is, excuse me, it's another level. And she let the world know what to look for. And I think that's great for the sport, too.
She's the leader in the WNBA in points for a reason, because she's got that competitive fire. And I want to add another legend to the list while we're here and having the opportunity to talk about the greatness also of Caitlin Clark, Cheryl Swoops. I think the game is in a healthy place when our legends can speak unapologetically about the game as well. Yeah. And I know there's some mistakes in some of her comments, but also you have to educate yourself to the greatness of those legends, because we have a lot of NBA players that speak their minds past, present, you know, and speak it unapologetically. Yeah. Cheryl, when our greats are talking about the game is in a good place. And I think there were a lot of negativity between her comments at one point that I said, hey, y'all, like, it's okay. It's okay if people have thoughts that are sometimes wrong. It means that we're talking about something that matters.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Drea, before you jump in here, guys, we've been alluding to the sound really quick. Let me just play it really quick, Diana Taurasi, and then Drea, we'll kick it back to you.
Reality is coming. You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it, and you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time.
There you go.
Drea.
She didn't lie.
She ain't lying.
I mean, my thing about DT, and this is just knowing DT, she says it with a smile on her face, because if there's one thing DT loves, it's a challenge. It's competing. That's what Caitlin loves. If Caitlin wanted to continue playing against 18-year-olds, she would have just stayed in college. Caitlin has taken on wanting to go to the WNBA. And For me, for Caitlin, she doesn't have to go to the WNBA and drop 30 to earn Diana Taurasi's respect.
Thank you.
Caitlin has to do is when she gets knocked down, get back up.
Fight back.
Fight back. Find her teammates. Gas her teammates up. She doesn't have to have a 30-piece. She's got to hit Kelsey on Mitchell on the wing. She's got to make the right play. What has Caitlin shown us that she's done her whole career? She's made the right play. Even if her teammate doesn't hit the shot, she makes the right play. She's got to go to the league, hold her own, make the right plays. That's all she has to do.
By the way, one of the legends in this business, y'all know the great Jim Gray. Y'all know that man. He just texted me and he said, "Can we not forget Teresa Edwards, the four-time Olympic gold medalist?"
Yep.
When other than Cheryl Miller, can we not forget about her? Teresa Edwards was something special as well. My apologies to Jim Gray and others. We did. We should have mentioned her as well.
Yeah. And we did all this talking and we ain't mentioned Maya Moore. Y'all ain't even mentioned Maya Moore, and that's your girl.
Wait.
Don't say y'all.
Look, I had to make a Mount Rushmore, and she was the player I chose. Maya Moore, the hardest player I've ever had to guard, and Caitlin Clark's favorite player.
But listen, I hope people understand that when we talk about Juju or Caitlin or Malaysia football, when we talk about any of the great players that we're seeing in college right now, we are giving praise to all of the women
that came
before them, because this generation grew up watching women. There were women before that had to grow up watching men. We're seeing these great players. Maya Moore is Caitlin's favorite player. So all of these women, all this talent that we're seeing, they're playing this way because they saw great women play this way. And that's why our game keeps getting better. Young girls growing up right now, watching Juju, watching Caitlin, their game's going to elevate because they're going to train like that. So as we talk about all these superstars, we're alluding to Dawn. We're alluding to all of the great women, because that's who these players watched.
Yep, yeah. Visibility for young girls now, thanks to.
And you know what, guys? She'll get better, because what's the book on her? Make a drive right, because then she's going to try to get to the basket. You let her go left, she's going to try to get that shot off. So as she gets to the WNBA, that's the scouting report. So now what does she have to do? Get better going to the right, being able to get that jump shot off, not always constantly looking to get to the rim. Because South Carolina says, look, Raven, keep her from going left, send her to her right. Cardosa, Kitts, Watkins, get your hand up. Let's make it difficult for her.
Mm. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate you so much.
Stephen A. is similar to Wimby. We just saw it. Thanks, Molly.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Be sure to watch our upcoming ESPN Plus original series, Full Court Press, featuring exclusive interviews and behind-the-scenes access to women's basketball stars Caitlin Clark, Camille Cardoso, Kiki Rice, premiering in May. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning championships, is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Kentucky's John Calipari is finalizing a five-year deal to coach Arkansas, according to our Pete Thamel and Jeff Borzello. The deal's expected to be completed in the next 24 hours. Calipari is the second highest paid coach in the country at Kentucky, only behind Kansas's Bill Self, earning more than $8.5 million per year. Kentucky's been a disappointment in the NCAA tournament the last three seasons, winning only one game while suffering first-round exits against St. Peter's in 2022 in Oakland this year. Coach Seth Greenberg, kind enough to join us live from Arizona, the site of the national championship, mm-hmm. where folks are trying to go back-to-back, Coach, as you know it. Top of the morning to you. Tell me this.
Good morning. Good seeing you, gentlemen. Molly,
good to see you, Coach.
Coach.
Coach, did Coach Cal underachieve at UK?
I don't think he underachieved. Obviously, he had some opportunities, blown opportunities, where he could have won a second national championship. He went to four Final Fours. He won a national championship. You know, you talk about the year, the COVID year, the 19-20 year. The guy was 25-6. Maybe had a team that could have won the national championship, gone to a Final Four. It was gone. The last 3 years have been out of character for John Calipari. But when you go to four Final Fours and you win a national championship and you do it with young players, which was your model, you know what? You had four opportunities to win a national championship getting to the Final Four. All right? You only capitalized on one. That's hard to do. It's hard to get to a Final Four. But I'm going to give you a bigger question. People are talking about John Calipari running from Kentucky. He's not running from Kentucky. If he wanted to run from Kentucky, he would have taken the $33 million they owed him and said, thank you very much. You don't want me to coach your team? Give me the $33 million. I'll go somewhere else. You know what he's doing? Instead, he is running to Arkansas, a place that wants him, that will embrace him, that will give him $5 million in NIL money to build a national caliber championship basketball program. And you know who else he's bringing with him, Stephen A.? He's probably bringing with him DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and Devin Booker and all those former players, not to work with them, but they're Cal guys. So you know what? They're Kentucky guys, but they're Cal guys first. So he's not running from Kentucky. Yeah, he should have won maybe one that more of a national championship, but he's running to a place that actually wants him, that has updated facilities, a new practice facility, quality places for those guys to live. So I'm happy for Cal, man. I'm happy for him.
Stephen A., can I go?
Yes,
can I go, Stephen A.? Let me get him. Let me get him. Wait, Molly, should I get him? Get him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, go, go. Hold on. Did you not just say he should have won another one? So let me get this straight. 16 recruiting classes.
He could have won another one.
Okay. 16 recruiting classes counting 2024. 8 times he's landed number 1 overall recruiting class. 7 times he's landed number 2 overall recruiting class. And even when he didn't get the first or second, he was top 5. 81 four and five star recruits. 53 five star, 28 four star. We didn't even put, the name goes without saying. So he's not running. So let me ask you a question. What would have happened to Coach Seth Greenberg? He has 81 four- and five-star recruits, and he only wins one national championship. Tell the people at home what would have happened in 16
seasons.
I'll
tell you what would have happened. You got to realize, Chad, there are other schools that have those same type of recruiting classes. Duke had those recruiting classes. Kansas had those recruiting classes. There are other programs that have had great recruiting classes. Plus, it's one recruiting class. What you've got to do in college basketball is you've got to have culture creators. Cal's biggest problem is when he had those really good teams, he didn't have enough experience to support those really good teams. He relied on those
freshmen on him.
Who were not ready to
the model.
Win those games or deal with the pressure.
Coach, he started the model of recruiting the one and done. So now a model that
you
he started,
is the
he couldn't. Hold on. He started a model? He created Frankenstein and can no longer control it? And now we don't want to put no.
How many was he supposed to win, Shannon?
Oh, Shannon, do you want
How about this? I'm gonna let you have it. How many was he supposed to win? More than Tubby Smith. More than Joby Hall. How about that? Is that asking too much? If it's asking too much, I apologize. Coach, is that asking too much? Okay.
It's asking too much because there are more good teams. Back where, hey, there are more good teams and more schools have invested in their programs today than there was, like, hey, coach. Coach Hall coached. Coach Hall is a monster. Coach. I absolutely love Coach
Coach
Hall.
Seth Greenberg.
He's an incredible coach.
Coach, I'm all trying to talk to you, Coach.
Let's go.
I'm trying to talk to you, Coach. Stop. Stop. I love Cal too. I really, really do. All right. Cal and I go back to his days when I was covering Temple when he was at UMass, and he had Marcus Camby and Lou Rowe and Mike Williams and those brothers. Bruiser Flynn is one of my dear friends. I love him to death. One of Cal's longtime assistant coaches. Okay. I get it. I understand it. Here's what I'm saying to you. I know Cal's a good coach. I know he's an exceptional recruiter. But we're not going to sit here and act like he has not underachieved. He has. You're at Kentucky, bro. This is Kentucky. Now, it might not be blue blood anymore in the eyes of a lot of people because the landscape of college basketball has changed, and I give it to you. But he's one of those individuals who forced it to change. He wanted players to be one and done. He wanted players to go and get the bag. He was definitely in the fight to make sure that they had an elevated level of appreciation because the NCAA were exploiting far too many of these collegiate athletes, and Cal was dogging and speaking out in support of players. That's one of the reasons he's such a great recruiter, because everybody knows he's a player's kind of coach. We get all of that. But Shannon in the first hour pointed out a lot of the names, and I'm looking at some of them right now. This is over his 9-season stretch without a Final Four berth dating back to 2016. He's had 16 first-round draft picks. 16, all right? Some of Cal's stars during that stretch. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we forgot about him. He was at Kentucky. You got Bam Adebayo. You got Jamal Murray. We got De'Aaron Fox. We got Tyrese Maxey, who just dropped 52 last night. We've seen the kind of play. We even bring up John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, and everybody else. You got one title. You haven't been to a Final Four since 2015. These are facts that we're talking about here. And then you look at the other schools that you brought up. North Carolina, 3 Final Four appearances. Villanova, 3. Duke, 1. Okay? Since 2016. When you look at these programs, forget the championship, Coach. I'm not going to do that to him. I understand anything can happen in an NCAA tournament. We understand that. But, Coach, the last 4 years, you don't even make it to a Sweet 16. Since 2015, you don't even make it to a Final Four at that program religiously with a top one or two recruiting class in America. At some point in time, we got to look at you and we got to say it is you. And Calipari spoke to the media after getting bounced out. Remember, 2 years ago, got bounced out by a 15 seed. This time, Oakland, a number 14 seed, bounces you out of there. Last 4 years, no NCAA tournament berth, 2 first-round exits, a second-round exit, no Sweet 16 appearance. What does Cal say? Well, I like to recruit young players. Maybe I need to think a little bit differently. And then Jay Williams comes on with us a few minutes ago and reminds us that 2 years ago, or last year actually, he had some veterans on the squad. So with veterans, without veterans, top recruiting classes, he still couldn't get to a Final Four in 9 years at the University of Kentucky. Don't tell me that's not underachieving. It is underachieving.
Well, you, I respect your opinion. We can agree to disagree. I think that the last 3 years he has underachieved with his team in the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt about it. You can't lose to Oakland. You can't lose to
Oakland. Well, he underachieved it.
I can live with that. I mean, 100% agree with that. That COVID year that the season was ended, that was a team that could have made a deep run. That was a big-time team, 25-6, 15-3 in the SEC, a team that was built for the postseason play. Look, they didn't get a chance to play. The following year, with COVID, Duke didn't win any games. Kentucky didn't win any games because they were had a team of freshmen you could throw that year at. The last 3 years, they have underachieved in the NCAA tournament. I do not disagree with you. I totally agree with you on that. And that's something he's got to address and he's got to live with.
Hey, we said Coach K underachieved when he had Jason. He had following years, he had Brandon Ingram and he had Jason Tatum and he had Zion and he had R.J. Barrett. We said he underachieved. So now we're not going to say Coach Cal underachieved with all those number one overall draft picks, with all those lottery picks. Hold on. The man had 23 lottery picks. He had 23 winning tickets, Stephen A. With 23 winning tickets, I might win 15, 20 billion at the lottery. He had 23 number one.
One of my boys in college basketball right now literally just texted me this message and said this, quote, Coach Sizzle, that's what he calls Coach Cal. Coach Sizzle is a great man, great recruiter, and great developer of talent. Just not a great coach. Love him, but it is what it is. Now, I think Calipari is a damn good coach, without question. I just think He has underachieved. Some will call him great coach. You can call him great. I can call him he's a damn good coach. Either or, work with it, whatever you want. What I think is undeniable is that he knew what the expectations were when you're at Kentucky.
Thank you.
College basketball. And that was not measured up to over a 9-year span. That is a fact.
Okay. 53 first-round draft picks during his tenure.
I can agree with you. One thing I can tell you is that the last 3 years, I really do believe he's lost his way, and I actually think the move is going to be really good for him.
Could be.
Say the move is going to be good for Kentucky. We'll find out. Because you know what? It's like an NBA trade. You always know what you're getting rid of. You never know what you're getting.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me another coach can't come in there and get bounced in the first round of the March Madness? Another coach can't come in there and get bounced in the second round of March Madness? You mean to tell me there are no other coaches out there in the history of the game that can do that?
Oh, there's a lot of guys that can do that or do better. But I'll tell you one thing. There's not a lot of guys that can go to four Final Fours in, 5 years?
Well, give them that level of talent. I bet you they could. Give them that level of talent.
Come on, four Final Fours in 5 years in the national championship. Come on, now give the man his due a little bit. Now, hey, the last few years
guys, I tried to wrap this 10 minutes ago.
Okay, go ahead, Molly.
We got to go. Please, work with me.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Are you giving me the field against UConn, yes or no?
Yeah. What do you want to put on it?
Make it loud on yourself. Whatever you want to bet. What you want to bet?
You want a designer backpack? I'll go designer purse.
Okay. Deal?
Deal? Okay.
Hold on. Are we talking Birkin designer?
Or no,
are we
talking LV? We're not going Birkin. We're talking LV Gucci.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay,
settle
okay,
down.
Okay.
I don't have money like you two. Shannon, we keep receipts. I just want to know, you thought I was all prideful, UConn with a field, and I still went with UConn. How are you feeling right now? And maybe you should get online, do a little online shopping.
Ask the women
in your life to help you out. That'd be good.
I'm a little nervous right now, but my pick is ABU. Anybody but UConn. That's all I'm saying, Stephen A.
You're such a hater.
Hilarious.
You are such a hater.
Coach, you know we that way just because we don't want to listen to her.
She's going to be insufferable. Stephen A, you know she's going to be insufferable.
Did you see her Friday? She came in here with a UConn thing with her shoulder exposed like she was going to a nightclub. Like she was planning on going to a party afterward. This is what she does. At 10 o'clock in the morning.
Shannon.
At 10 o'clock in the morning.
Shannon, I'd like that.
You got shoes last year.
Yep.
You're getting a purse this year.
Yep.
What's next year?
I don't know, but I'd like that. I just want to make sure I get that purse in a timely fashion. Stephen A. took a little too long, so let's just make sure.
I didn't see you complaining when you got them.
Yep. So
I didn't see you complaining when you got them.
I'll be doing a little online shopping tonight, but in all seriousness, I am worried about this kid, Zach Edey.
I'm not, but go ahead.
Okay, Coach, tell me who you got and why.
I got UConn, and it's not about Edey and Klingon. To me, it's about Stephen Castle and Braden Smith. I think Stephen Castle's ability to pressure the ball, you saw what he did to Terrence Shannon, you saw what he did to Sears. He cut off the head of the snake. His ability to dominate the ball at the point of attack, basically take this Purdue team, push them away from the basket, extend their catches, get Edey off the block. That's going to be the difference in the game. UConn is the most complete team. Edie might have bigger numbers than Klingon, but it's the collective responsibility of this Connecticut team that makes them just different, and it starts with their ability to defend the ball, and that's all about Stephen Castle. The game's going to be won in the backcourt and ball pressure as opposed to what everyone thinks, the battle up front.
Well, for me, let me say this, Shannon, real quick, because for me, it does come down to that big boy matchup because everything goes through Edie at Purdue.
Yes.
And so you're asking me, and listen, I don't want, listen, he's a college kid, he's a big boy, obviously he's a national player of the year, two-time national player of the year. He's got some skills. I look at his mobility, coach, and I think he can be had. I think he could be had with somebody around his size. I think it could give him a lot of trouble. I don't like for him to beat it the size that he is. Sometimes I think he brings the ball too low. Sometimes I never view him as being quick afoot. I see some vulnerabilities there that can be exploited by somebody like UConn. And so my attitude is, okay, the reigning defending national champions led by Danny Hurley, who has proven himself to be one hell of a coach. He's an exceptional coach, and he's going to be mentioned if he wins tonight in the same breath as some of the elite coaches that have ever coached this game. You're telling me that this dude, when I think about big men in college basketball, Shannon, they talk about this hasn't been a big man matchup like this since Ewing Olajuwon. But I'm thinking Ewing, I'm thinking Olajuwon, I'm thinking Ralph Sampson, I'm thinking all of these big boys, Anthony Davis and others. And I'm like, I don't see this guy in that light. Yep. And why I'm going with UConn tonight. That's me.
No.
Shannon, do you feel good about your pick? I'm just curious.
I'm just wondering
how confident you are.
I don't feel good about my pick. I feel even worse about you being insufferable for the rest of my tenure here at ESPN, Stephen A. That's what I'm most worried about. But you're right, Stephen A. He's not as fleet of foot as those guys. Those guys were very, very athletic, could move without the ball. Look, he's going down to one or the other block. He's going to go down there, throw it to a hand, and he's going to try to turn around and put – now, the question is, because I think UConn's backcourt is more dynamic, they have the better, they have the more complete team. I'm not breaking news to anyone here, but I think Zach Edey, he's going to need to play the game of his life.
Yes, he is.
In order for them to win, because it reminds me of a situation, Villanova. Ed Pinckney and Villanova, they took down Georgetown, the much superior team. They slowed the pace. Now, you can't slow the pace because there's a shot clock.
Right.
But they got every shot that they wanted, and the shots, they made those shots. That's the way Purdue's going to have to play. Zach Edey's going to probably need a 20-point double-double in order.
I think he's going to need more than that.
Look at Shannon trying to coach him up. This is sad.
If he gets
Shannon's
a 30-point double-double. Stop hating. 30-point double, a 30-20 game with five blocks.
Right.
Purdue.
Coach,
before you chime in, I want to say this.
First of all,
I got something for you, Coach.
I'm going to give you a quick little lesson here, guys. You talk about, like, the whole idea of Connecticut is ball pressure buys time. So if they can take the guards out, that takes Zach Edey out, number one. So, like, if you pressure the guards, Zach Edey is depending on his guard play.
Yeah,
this guard play isn't good. He's taken out of the game. And there's this guy named Klingon on the other side. Mm. He can almost look Edey in the eye. All right. They're going to put Zach Edey off defensively. They're going to put him in so many actions. He's going to have to guard ball screens, flash screens, down screens, re-screens. All right. You're going to pull him away from the basket, which is also going to enable Connecticut to attack the basket and make plays. So, look, Edey is a terrific player. I'm not sure his game translates to the NBA. I just think Connecticut's team, the collective responsibility of the team, is hard to deal with.
Yeah,
well, let me say
go ahead.
I just want to say this last point. I remember, do y'all remember when Ewing was in the national title game against Carolina, his first freshman?
Yeah.
And if you remember that moment, fellas, John Thompson had to calm him down because Ewan was – he got caught for goaltender like three or four times in the first few minutes. He was just like calm down. I mean, Ewan was swatting stuff. Nothing. He sent a message early. Nothing is coming in here. Nothing. Anything close to the rim, get it out of here. I think, Coach – for Purdue to have a shot tonight.
Yep, we got to go.
Edie's got to do that.
Perfect. Shannon, who should I send the links to? You, your assistant, you just let me know. I'll get
Don't worry about it.
Okay, you see how you gloating? You see how you,
Molly
you brought some
more
money,
trash than anyone.
See, yeah, you see that? Okay. Now watch, you're gonna be sad tomorrow.
I love to talk trash. I don't even know what's wrong with me, I'm gonna be honest with you, but I absolutely do.
That is true about you.
I
you
do.
Talk a lot of smack.
I'm really sweet.
You're such an instigator.
I really swear.
No, you're
very
not really sweet.
No, I'm very sweet and very thoughtful,
you're
but
not
I
really
love
sweet.
To talk trash.
Who are you
you're
trying to convince?
Really
who are you trying to convince?
You just it's an oxymoron. You talk about you're really sweet, but you talk trash.
You can be both. You can have range.
No, not you.
Yes, you can.
Not you.
Oh, my God.
Not you. Not you.
Coach, tell him. We got to go.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Paul George had a massive fourth quarter to rally the Clippers over the Cavs, 120-118. George scored 23 of his 39 points in the final quarter to help L.A. overcome a 26-point deficit, the third largest comeback win in franchise history. Meanwhile, exciting OT action in Dallas as Kyrie and Luka combined for 85 points in the 147-136 win over the Rockets. The Mavs rallied from 22 points down in a clutch buzzer beater by Dante Exum to force the game to OT. Shannon Sharp, which comeback more impressive, Mavs or Clippers?
Man, Kyrie and Luka was sensational. But I'm going to go with the Clippers, Stephen A., for the simple fact they didn't have Kawhi. And Paul George took it upon himself. And we've seen Paul George. This is Indiana Paul George that has this kind of capabilities. He can do it all. He can get to the rim. He can pull up. He can shoot the three. He was an excellent defensive player before those injuries robbed him of some of that athleticism. But the one thing he can continuously do is make shots. He can get his shot. He can create separation. Great move. Dropped him and got a 12-footer off that splashed it and ended up winning the game. So for me, considering what they were up against, they were undermanned without having Kawhi, I would say Paul George and what the Clippers were able to do. But Kyrie and Luka were sensational.
Couple of things. Number one, Paul George, one of the best people you'll ever want to meet. It's beautiful seeing him on the court this late in the season, healthy, because we know that the Clippers are a different beast when that brother is on the court and he gets going. So give props where it's due. That's number one. Number two, however, I'm going to disagree with you because, as I said a few minutes earlier, Kyrie Irving is my comeback player of the year. When you consider the injuries, when you consider the suspensions, when you consider some of the noise that was made headline-wise when he was a Brooklyn Net and then coming to Dallas, and obviously people were wondering whether or not he was going to be a distraction or whatever. No, he's something spectacular. He's special. He's averaging nearly 26 a game. He's shooting 49% from the field, 41% from three-point range, 90% from the free throw line. He's the secondary option to Luka Doncic. And let me throw this by you, Shannon. 25 of his season high 48 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. That was yesterday. In clutch time this season, you understand what I'm saying? Last 5 minutes, within 5 points, et cetera, et cetera. This is Kyrie Irving. 60% from the field, 42% from three-point range, 95% from the free throw line. This brother's something special. And he's putting on a show and reminding everybody of the superstar and the champion we knew him to be.
Yep.
That's how I'm looking at it. I go Kyrie.
He's in a great place mentally and physically. Love to see it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Dallas is fun to watch. And by the way, not a bad city to go to. It's not like I'd be going there for the Cowboys. So I'm good.
UConn Huskies.
Oh,
fight. Go fight. Go win. I messed it up. All right. Go Huskies.
Nope.